Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
A dog returns to its vomit. They prove the truth of this proverb. A dog returns to its vomit. And another proverb says, a washed pig returns to the mud. We're talking about getting back on track, because you see, what happens to us is that from time to time, if you're going to sit in front, try to be a bit... Okay. From time to time, we fall off. We do. And it is very possible that something you vomited, that you find yourself going back to it again. This behavior that you are seeing here with dogs, God is not speaking because he cares about dogs. He's talking to us that we seem to behave sometimes like these dogs. What will cause me to vomit something? Well, I'll vomit it because it's not working well in my stomach. If I drink something and my stomach is not able to contain it, there's going to be a little bit of a war on the inside. And depending on how toxic the thing is, the stomach can decide that this thing can't stay. I can't manage this thing. We gotta expel it. So the stomach will decide. We have two ways. You can go down or you can go up. But we gotta get rid of you. When it goes down, we call it a running tummy. When you are having a running tummy, it's not like the normal way you are going to ease yourself. When you are having a running tummy, sometimes we even say that your stomach is upset. Hello, somebody. You say that your stomach is upset. Like there's something that you put in the stomach that has upset your system, and your system is no more as peaceful as it is usually. So your system now is struggling to operate, and it can't operate normally because there is a foreign object in the system. Then you start sweating, then you start being irritable, then you start being agitated, because there's something in you that's not supposed to be there, and your stomach is giving you signs. This thing that you just ate, this thing that you just drank, is not working. We need to get rid of this thing. When it is very urgent, the stomach knows if we have to send it down, you need to find a place. Then it might take a while. Then they say, let's send it up. They start pushing it up. And they put a lot of pressure, because when things are down, they have to build up like this to come out. So they use a lot of pressure because they don't want the thing to stay. They pressurize it up. And then you start feeling, you start doing like this. as you vomit those things. Oh, my God. You feel good, don't you? Now, after you vomited those things, I want you to picture them. Look at them. Ugly. You even ask yourself, did this thing come from me? Vomit don't look nice. They don't even smell nice. They are slimy. Like everything about them is just that, you know what, get this thing. Just, this thing will just go. But imagine you have vomited like that. All those bad things. Greenish, brownish, reddish. Oh my God. Yellowish. And some pinkish nyana on the side. All that mess. You vomited it there. Then you say, wow. Then you go and collect a plate. And you get a nice spoon. Then you come. Oh my God. You start taking the vomit. You put the vomit back in the plate. All the vomit. You put all of them back in the plate. And then you call your friend. Say, Tommy, come. Let's enjoy. Let's eat. Then you even take a fork and knife. Then you start. You see, you can't even imagine yourself. Some of us, after you vomited, you don't even want to go near the thing again. Like you just. But the Bible says there are people who vomit things, and after vomiting those things, they turn around and they start eating the very things they vomited. Somebody is getting back on track. That's what I'm trying to talk to you about. Getting back on track will mean if you vomit it, leave it. Don't go back to something your system is telling you, I can't work with this thing. This thing cannot help us. We need to reject this thing. And you yourself, you sit there and say, no, it's true. This thing is not working. And you vomit the thing. After you vomit it, and you are feeling a bit nice, and you are relieved, and you say, hey, Bana. I mean, that thing was not that bad, you know. No, that girl wasn't that bad. I'm the one who was the problem. Then you start going back to the vomit. He wasn't that bad. I know he was abusing me, but you know what? Me also, I was abusing him. What are you doing? You are going back to the vomit. Something that you yourself saw how it was destroying you, and you rejected it. Now you are going back to it. I think I'm talking to myself today. This is why we can't make progress. We can't make progress. You see, you keep going back to the vomit like a dog. You this, I know, I'm cutting this thing off. It's over. I'm no more going to do this. What are you doing? You are vomiting. You are vomiting. Why? Because you can see how the thing is destroying your health. You can see how the thing is destroying your life. You can see how the thing is destroying your relationship. You can see how the thing is destroying you. You can see that this thing is not compatible with you and your system. It is making you to malfunction. The thing is making your Christianity to not work. You've tried to accommodate this guy and your church, but you see it's not working. And you can say, for this thing to work, you have to become less spiritual. Lesser and lesser and lesser and lesser and lesser. For this thing to work, you have to become less holy. Like your standard of holiness must reduce for the thing to operate. Then you reach a conclusion that for me to succeed, I must vomit this thing. What are you saying? I must dissociate myself. I must create a separation. Me and this thing must stop relating. Because as long as this thing is in my body, as long as this thing is in my life, it is messing me up. It is messing me up. I'm changing. I'm always stressed. I'm always depressed. And it's not because of real problems. There are vomit on the inside of you. You are always sweating. Not because you are working hard. Because your mind is contaminated. Contaminated. And you have become irritable. I'm giving you the signs and symptoms of somebody that should vomit. You are irritable. You are always exhausted. You are no more enjoying whatever you are doing. You are always under pressure that something must come out. I wonder whom I'm talking to right now. Are there something in your life right now that must be vomited out? There's something in your system. There's a behavior. There's a person. There's a thing that you have accommodated, but that thing is spoiling you. What does it mean to vomit? Let go. Let go. Let go. What does it mean to vomit? Forgive. Forgive this thing. Because it's as long as you keep holding this thing, you are malfunctioning. Forgive and let go. Meaning you are vomiting the thing out. There is nothing that spoils your soul more than bitterness and unforgiveness and hate and wounds and pain. Those things spoil you on the inside. So when you are forgiving people, it's like you are vomiting all that slime. You are vomiting all those reddish and greenish things so that you can be free again. So that your system can be free again. That's what it means to vomit. Now imagine you vomited and you've released the people. And after just 2 days, Satan brings thoughts again. Huh? Did you see what I saw on Facebook there? He's back again. Then you also say, let me go check it. What are you doing? A dog returns to its vomit. You are returning to the vomit. You are returning to the vomit. You know it's bad for you. That's why you try to let go of it. But you keep going back to it. I am not the one saying it. The Bible is saying that you are now a dog. That is a doggish behavior. Like that behavior you are busy with, maybe you didn't know what it is. That you say, you know what? This is the last time I'm touching this. This is the last time I'm using my phone at midnight. And I start to go to certain websites. At night, when it's dark, it's quiet. is not quiet in your room. And you are hearing the name, my God. But, it's not the right one. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my, hey! Why? And they are using the name of God. They are using the name of God. And you are also saying, hey, they are calling on God. It's okay. As long as we are calling on God. We are not calling on God there. Those are vomit. And a day comes in your life where you realize that this thing is destroying me. This thing is making me to look at people as sex objects. When I go, you see, after we've watched porn, let me tell you something that the pornographers will not tell you. I watched porn before. When you watch porn, as soon as you are done, you enter war. Why? Because everything you saw there, as soon as you see a girl that has a bit of the features that you saw in the porn, you see, she looks exactly like what I. Then immediately you enter into another thing, you and her, and she doesn't know. She doesn't know that as she is there like that, you are busy with something. Because she is reminding you of something you watched last night. Same with the sisters. They watch these things, and as they go along, they are not have peace. In the taxi, they don't have peace. At school, they don't have peace. At work, they don't have peace. Because Satan is showing them, look at that one. He looks exactly like what you saw. And you are there. Then you go to step two. You find the toilet quickly. And then you do your stuff there. Now, you don't want the truth. Now, you want me to come? Because I see here in here, I've decided to come to Robeka and preach the word in Robeka. I will preach the word in Robeka. I will preach the word. This is what got us off track. And we can't pick. You see, the reason why Satan uses sexual problems, because we are ashamed to talk about them. So when he locks you there, he knows in 1,000 years you will remain in prison, because you will never be able, you will never have the courage to talk. So he locks you with pornography. He locks you with masturbation. He locks you with fornication. He locks you with so many things. And you are just quiet there like that. We just look at you. Your Christianity is disappearing. We don't know why. We can't explain why. You are just there every time you come to church, but there is no more life in you. There is no power in you. And you cannot tell us what is the problem. Meanwhile, your phone is the problem. Your phone is the problem. And you start pretending, because you will not speak the truth. Because if you speak the truth, how will people look at me? No. You can't say those things. You shouldn't talk about those things. If you mention those things, they will close the doors of the church. They will not allow you inside. They say, you are the reason why the church is not growing. They will start judging you if you speak the truth. So that's why Satan uses that sin more than any other sin. He makes sure he locks you up. So you will continue coming to church, but you are dying inside. There are vomit inside. you are trying to get back on track. But what it takes to get back on track, you wouldn't do it. You cannot do it. You feel like you shouldn't say it. So you keep pretending you are back on track. The word of God has come this morning to remind you, you are not a dog. I say you are not a dog. You are a child of God. You are not a dog. You are not a dog. You are not a dog. Then he says, a washed pig. Maybe Rebecca has changed, but when I used to be here, my God, has it changed? Okay, then it hasn't changed. Because we'll be here like this, then you'll have a herd of donkeys. Then after a while, we are still here like this, the dogs. Then before you know it, the pigs enter. I wish I had members like this. Dog members, goat members, pig members. Because they come for free. You don't have to gather them. They gather themselves. They come by themselves. You don't need to gather them. You don't even need to invite them. And from time to time, especially there's a house down there. It's there. Those pigs. My God. Imagine you take one of those pigs. You wash it. Nice. It starts looking nice and clean. Then you see? Now you are clean. Go in a nice place and relax. As soon as you release the pig, back in the mud. You ask yourself, what is wrong with this pig? I just washed you. I just cleaned you. Why did I do that? Because the mud is bad. The mud smells. The mud makes you unattractive. Nobody will want to associate with you when you are dirty. That's why you come to church and the word of God starts cleansing you. And the blood of Jesus starts washing you. And the Holy Spirit starts sanctifying you. But as soon as we are done here, and we release you, thinking to ourselves that you will have enough sense to realize that you've just been washed. And when you've washed something, you handle it with care. Even your clothes, after you wash your clothes, you don't just take them anyhow. You remove them in a nice way. Anything that is washed is handled with care. Except the pig. Can I ask you a personal question? Are you a pig? No, ask the person next to you. Are you a pig? Are you a pig? Are you a pig? Me, I'm not a pig. Now, for you to prove to me that you are not a pig, it's not just to say, I'm not a pig. No, it's easier said than done. Stay clean. If you can stay clean. You see, you are not clapping now. You say, Pastor. You know, it is easy to make yourself dirty when you didn't wash yourself. That is what you guys do with clothes. Your mother washes the clothes. She irons the clothes. Well, now you are just wearing. And you go and do whatever you want to do. And then you come and throw them and she has to wash them. And then you just wear. But when you start washing your own clothes, you know, you'll become careful. You become careful where you go, where you sit, how you ask, because you know that if you mess up these clothes, you have to wash them yourself. then that's what we do with our souls. Because it is pastor who has to work on your soul, not yourself. So you just come and say, Muruti, release the anointing, please. Arie Papa. Arie Papa. Release the oil. Release the oil. Pour the oil, Muruti. Watuba, Muruti. Watuba, Muruti. Watuba, Watuba. Because you are not the one doing the hard work of finding scriptures, of spraying, and you just dirty yourself. You just dirty yourself. I will go back, the blood of Jesus will cleanse me, and Muruti will speak to me, and everything will be fine. I came to tell you, you are not a dog. Stop behaving like one. And I also came to tell you, you are not a pig. Stop acting like one. You are a chosen generation. You are chosen. You are chosen. You are chosen. The Bible says you are a royal priesthood. There's royalty in you. Don't treat yourself cheaply. Don't devalue yourself. That's why it's so important who you call your friend. Because if the standards are not the same, if the values are not the same, you will start operating with those values rather than the values of the kingdom. Hence the scripture is so important that we just read. Study this book of instruction. Continual. That is where we find our standard. That is where we discover who we are. In the book of instructions. Not what your friend says, this is the standard. Are you with me? So we are getting back on track. I want to tell you, this word came to me from God. Yes. Those three words, back on track. See, God gave it to me. And I'm telling you that this church, and a lot of churches, as a matter of fact, should actually be working on that thing, because that is where the people are. The people are off track. The people you are preaching to are not on track. So the things you are telling them, look, if a car is off-road and you keep putting more fuel in the tank, it will just be empowered to go more off-road. Now you are just giving it more fuel so that it can continue in the bushes. So I think before you put more fuel, push the car back in the main road first. Once the car is in the road, then put as much fuel as you wish. Then everything will be fine. And that is what we are trying to do with back on track. That we're trying to get you back on track. Back on track. A lot of you that are sitting here or standing, if you are honest with yourself, your life is not on track. It's not on track. You are not on track with your studies. You are not on track with your relationships. You are not on track with Jesus. You are not on track with so many things. You are not on track with your finances. You are not on track with your dreams. You are not on track with your goals. You are not on track. But I want to ask you a question. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? Because you can see you are not on track. But it's like, I doesn't fix anything. You got to make a decision. I'm getting my life back on track. Nobody will do it for you. Nobody will get your Christianity back on track for you. Nobody. I mean, if you leave it there, it will keep spoiling. It will keep spoiling. I wish I had time to tell you the things that I've had to do so far to get my life back on track. Because Satan usually makes sure that he will complicate the things in such a way that even if you are planning on the journey will be so hard. Like you will just look at the journey and say, no, 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 no. I think, let me just continue. Let me just continue. Yeah. But it takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of courage to truly get your life back on track. Because to get your life back on track, at many times, you're going to have to sit with somebody and tell them things that you never thought you can tell anybody. You're going to have to reveal secrets that you've kept buried for years. And when you just think about that, they say, yo, hi. The thing is off track, but it's not too bad. I'm not too far from the road. Let me just, maybe someday I will get back on track. That's why I cannot say we are getting our lives back on track. I can only say maybe you are not ready to do what it takes. Maybe you want to continue being off track, hoping for a miracle. But there's nothing like that. You will just see your life keep going wrong and wrong and wrong. Until you realize, look, I'm on the wrong track. If I continue like this, I'll end up like so and so in the family. I'll end up like so and so that I say at work. You see, the people you are seeing today didn't start the way they are today. You need to remember that. They didn't start the way they are. They started just like you. They were feeling that they can achieve something, but then their life started going off track and they didn't do anything about it. That's why they are exactly where they are now. But when now you are thinking you are a different case. You are thinking you can go off track, but for some magic abracadabra thing, you will get back on track. It's not like that. You have to take responsibility now and decide, I'm not a dog, I'm not a pig. So I gotta stop these behaviors. I gotta remain clean. And for me to remain clean, I gotta find a leader and I gotta expose this vomit. I gotta vomit all these things out of my system. I cannot keep them inside. A lot of you are hiding the things of the devil on the inside of you. How are you going to defeat him? Because you have his stuff inside of you. I hope you can find that scripture. Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. He has nothing in me. Find it quickly for me. You see, we should be able to say like that. He has nothing in me. Oh yes. Thank you. Look at this. I hope you came for the word of God, man. Because I haven't started preaching. I'm just encouraging you first. Yes, I have a good word for you. You can't put the thing that they told you. There you go. You got it. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. Who is the ruler of this world? Satan. And he says, and he has nothing in me. You see, we should be able to give this testimony that the ruler of this world is coming. So he's coming to check if his staffs are in here. Because if my staff are in you, I have a right to be there. Yeah. He said, he has nothing in me. I know on you, you are showing that he has nothing. But what about in you? What about in you? Does he have nothing in you? Like if we place you here now and we say, Mr. Devil, how about this one? Will he say, there's nothing. I think some of us will not even allow that we should even bring you here. You see, then we are living a lie. So we keep coming to church, pretending, and yet you are not working hard to get his stuff out of you. That's the whole purpose about vomiting. When you vomit, things were in you and you vomited them out. And when now the Bible says, when you vomit them out, don't go back for them. But I think I even went ahead of myself, because some of us haven't even vomited the things that are in us. I went too far. I realized I went too far in the message. Yeah. Because before we even talk of vomiting, you must first accept that you haven't vomited. Tell your neighbor, have you vomited yet? Have you even vomited? We are here talking about you going back to the vomit, but have you even vomited? You are still enjoying the things inside of you, so some of us haven't vomited the world. We still love the world. We still want to be associated with the world. We just come to church because we don't want to go to hell. But really, what we love is the world. We haven't vomited the world. Yeah, we love the music of the world. We love the girls of the world. We love the brothers of the world. We love the dressing of the world. We love the world. We haven't vomited those things. So we are even talking about going to the vomit. There's nothing to go to. You haven't vomited. It's still in you. What God has brought me here with today is a laxative. I came with a laxative, and I'm putting a laxative in your spiritual system, that when you come out of here, you will go, you will vomit everything out. You will vomit it out. Because, you know why we use a laxative? Because some of these don't want to go. They stay inside and they start torturing you. From inside. That's why we have laxative. Because they think you go to the toilet and say, I'm okay. Are you okay? Me, I'm okay. You do, Me, I'm fine. I'm here to say. And you put the finger, I'm not going anywhere. So you need to do something to provoke him to come out. And because many a times God knows you will not do it, so God implores the devil to do it for you. God will create circumstances. God will do certain things, and you will be forced to vomit. Yes. And many a times you don't want to vomit. You will hear the word, but you will not vomit. So God will make the guy to cheat on you. And he will make it grandiose that you will see it. Then you say, what is the use? Should I die here? So by the time you are vomiting, you are not vomiting because you want to vomit. You don't have a choice. And it's a bad way of vomiting. The people that vomit without having a choice are the ones that go back to the vomit. Because if you really thought about it and you didn't need a laxative, but you provoke yourself to vomit the thing out, usually you are in a better place than a person that was provoked and they vomited. They didn't really have a conviction. They just vomited because they had to vomit. Those ones. When things get tough, they return to the vomit and they return to the mat. That shall never be your portion in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.